J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
I think it's wrong that only one company makes the game Monopoly. I'm writing an unauthorized autobiography. When it comes out, I'm going to sue myself. 24-hour banking? I don't have time for that. A friend of mine has a trophy wife, but apparently it wasn't first place. I'm exhausted from trying to believe unbelievable things. All my friends tell me stories, and at the end they say, "Isn't that unbelievable?" And I say, "I guess so." Then I try to believe it, then I'm exhausted. And I have to be asleep by 1 in the morning because my dreams are going to start whether I'm sleeping or not. Which can make for some pretty strange conversation if I'm still awake. I thought those were your rickshaws. What the hell are you talking about? When I was in high school, I worked in a pet store, and they fired me because what happened was they had 3 snakes in there, and one day I braided them. Tried to pass it off as one snake with 3 heads. Oh, yes, it's very rare. It's from Connecticut. I asked my girlfriend if she ever had sex with a woman, and she said no, and I said, "You should try it. It's fun." And she did. Now she's gone. You never see advertisements for string. They make string, but they never advertise. If I ever did a commercial, it would be for string. All right, if you need to get some string, get this string. It's the greatest string in the world. It's almost rope. But it's not, it's string. And you can cut it up into different lengths and tie stuff up with it and stuff. I don't know what you're gonna do with it, just get it. Yesterday, I returned a movie. The people at the theater were pissed. So I rented a movie, I put it in DVD player, and before the movie starts, it says, "This film has been modified to fit your television." Can you imagine if it wasn't? All you'd see is like a knuckle.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, "I've heard it all before"? It's like deja vu all over.
Day, August 2nd, 2022, 102 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. Hi, I'm JC. Almost didn't do a podcast today, as you know, because I've been whining about it since then. Last fall, I had another back operation, and the surgeon who did it, he just didn't get it. He didn't get what is going on back there, and I've had no relief. Very little relief. I shouldn't say no. Hardly any improvement. And yesterday, I don't know. Just I was just cutting the grass. That's all. Just something simple like that. And I said, there's so much pain last night. I was up half the night. I actually got out of bed at about 3:30, and just came into the studio here where I have a TV, and I just started watching TV. And, you know, nothing worked. And I'm laying there. I'm like still awake. I'm wide awake. The next thing I realize, it's about 20 after 6. And I'm like, oh, geez, I got a podcast due in less than an hour. So I don't know what's coming out of my mouth here today, but we're going to go ahead with it. I guess it's better than nothing. Then again, I guess we'll see, won't we? It is Election Day, and the only thing that makes me happy about that is the fact that the incessant TV commercials will be gone now, at least for a little while until we get back into the fall and they really start amping them up again. But I did this all these guys with flamethrowers and rifles, and you just demonize your opponent, and it's really funny if you sit there and really, really seriously pay attention to it, you know, because you're like, here's the problem. And there's always video of, like, you know, gasoline prices and stuff, which is fascinating, because not only do legislators on the local and state level have nothing to do with the price of gasoline, the president of the United States, any president, doesn't matter who, has no control over the price of gasoline. Now, I know I've published that before on Facebook stuff, and people start bickering with me, and I don't care. You're wrong. The president of the United States does not control gasoline prices. We get gasoline from oil. Oil is traded, if you will, on a global level. And then you got OPEC and all that sort of stuff. And those guys are about as capricious as can be about getting together and setting the price of barrels of oil and also production. And I guess Am I right? I think it is today. I think they are meeting today to talk about production. And, you know, if you paid attention in high school, then you know there's this thing called supply and demand. And that's, we're coming off a global pandemic, and we went from people being boxed up for 2 years, and now most of the pandemic is over, and people just started spending like crazy. And one of the things they started spending things on is going places. And so, I mean, what am I doing? I'm trying to explain remedial economics here. So all these guys, all these men and women are talking about lowering the price of gasoline. They're all making it up. I don't care what side they're on. They're making it up because they aren't the ones who can do anything about it. Other issues? Sure, but not gas. But anyhow, it's a primary season, and we'll find out who the actual candidates are going to be. It is fascinating that Donald Trump, in a, I guess it was a video yesterday, endorsed Eric in the state of Missouri. He did not specify if that is Schmidt or Greitens. He just said Eric, and I'll leave it up to you to decide whether Trump did that on purpose. And then I'm putting this up right after the podcast today. My friend Rob sent this to me late last night, and it's a screenshot of Channel 4, and they're showing the candidates. And make sure you give a close look to this thing when I put it up, because you have Vicky Hartzler, who is one of the candidates for Missouri State Senate. Okay, there's Vicky Hartzler. And there is Eric Schmidt. And there is Eric Greitens. Oh, no, it's not. It's Eric Schmidt again. So they have two pictures of the same guy. Eric Schmidt, they got that right. And then right next to it, it's Eric Schmidt again, but they have listed below Eric Greitens. And the reason I said make sure you really take a close look at this, because it might be easy with a blatant mistake like that to miss up in the upper left-hand corner that it says Democratic Party. So not only do they have this wrong in terms of the pictures of the guys, but also they have them as Democrats. And I have to be honest with you about something. If you've been following all this stuff that I put, and this is great, by the way, too, because now people, you know, after having done this for a couple of years, people spot them themselves and they send them to me. So some of the ones I put up, I didn't even catch myself, okay? Other people caught them, or maybe I wasn't watching that particular news station, and somebody was, and they're like, oh, you were watching Channel 5, look what Channel 4 did, you know, whatever. And then they send me the screenshot, and I clean it up a little bit, frame it right, and then I put it up. So thank you for that. But the way this started, God's honest truth, the way this started when I began doing it, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, was because I was sort of protesting the idea of how badly the local television newsrooms had been, you know, just torn to shreds because of budget cuts. You know, you used to walk into a television newsroom and it looked like, you know, deadline week at the high school yearbook office. There were just people running around all over the place. Now you go in there and you're like, was there a gas leak or something? Is this, how come you didn't evacuate with everybody else? And they're like, no, this is it. This is all we have now. So, you know, you used to have double and triple layers of redundancy. So before somebody wrote something or printed something out or put a caption on the screen for you to see, it went through at least one, sometimes two people, sometimes three people. When I worked in the television newsroom, that what it was like. You know, there are, on occasion, you know, everybody makes mistakes, or you know, a lot of times it's just clarity that's the problem. Somebody will say, hold, wait, before you cut this and produce it and get it ready for air, just take a look at this. And you read it and you go, oh, that's right, that's not clear. And that's what the job of a good producer or news director or assistant news director, that's what a good one does. And it's not personal. They're just, you're trying to put out the best possible product. And, you know, when you get into people who have been trained in journalism, things can get, it can be a sticky wicket. And I was brought up in journalism too, so I know, I don't take it personally. You just go, you're absolutely right. That's not clear. Let me clean it up. Let me make it more clear. And then you run it past them. Well, now there's nobody there. There's nobody to run it past. You just do it and you submit it. And the producer's lucky to get the news show on by 5:30 or whatever it is. There's no bodies around to sort of help out and check things. That's how this whole thing started, is that I was lamenting the idea that the television newsrooms have been so torn apart that look at all these mistakes that are made now. Well, it still is that, but it's become more and more a case of, well, if you're the reporter and you're working, then, you know, it's on your shoulders. You just got to make sure that you're right, because there isn't anybody to come along later and clean it up in case you've made a mistake. So you just got to be more careful. And people either aren't, or, and this is the horrifying part, maybe they just can't spell. And there are people who graduate grade school, high school, and college who can't spell. Seems unbelievable, but it's true. And that's why you get two Eric Schmidts, and they call them Democrats instead of Republicans. Welcome to the show. Now, somebody very, very wise, a very long time ago, said to me, one of the ways of appearing smart is knowing what you're dumb at. And I always thought that was brilliant advice. And I thought to myself, I'm just going to avoid math now for the rest of my life. I've never been any good at it. I'm just going to go to my grave knowing, number one, I can't hit in baseball. I've always stunk at it. I'm never going to be able to swim. I tried four or five times to learn, and it just can't seem to do it. I love the water. I'm in the water all the time, but I can't swim. Now, if I got tossed off a boat, I could probably make it back to the boat or figure out some way to keep myself afloat until somebody threw me something that was buoyant. But when it comes right down to swimming, no, I can't. And finally, number three, I stink at math. And I'm not even sure that what we're talking about here now is math. It has more to do with chance and probability. And I guess it falls under the heading of math, because where else would it be? But I found out that one of the $1 million lottery tickets, you know, the guy who won the $750 million or whatever it was, which I don't know what it was pared down after taxes. I don't know what it comes out to be. But anyhow, I know it was $1.3 billion. Then you pay all the tax and you're not a billionaire anymore. You thought you were going to be, but the taxes are like, I'm not even a billionaire. But anyhow, so that one person in Des Plaines, Illinois, and that is not far from my brother and sister, by the way, who live in Aurora, Illinois. But I swear half the kids I went to college with at Northern Illinois University were from Des Plaines. So nobody has claimed to have the winning ticket yet, which brings up a scary proposition. You got 1 year to step forward and claim and say, you know, here's the ticket I won. So you got a year. And had I won, you would never hear from me again. That would be it. And it is possible that that's exactly what's going on, that these people, whoever the winners were, said, okay, we've got a situation on our hands here, and we're going to have to really think this over. You got to get a lawyer. You got to get put the ticket in a safe deposit box or something like that. You got to do all that stuff. You don't want to appear as though anything has changed in your life. You don't want to start doing anything different that would tip anybody off as to the fact that you are the new mega winner. You wait a couple of weeks. You have the lawyer call the lottery people and say, you know, my client won. We have the winning ticket here, but they don't want any publicity. And there are certain states that allow you to do that, to remain anonymous. So it could be that, or it could be that somebody was at the gas station and just said, oh, I'll grab a ticket just to be part of the whole thing, and never looked at the ticket again, or lost the ticket, or it fell in the trash. Or just for some reason, that person is never going to step forward and say, I won. Now, if that happens, I don't know what happens after the year. You know, when the year runs out and nobody has stepped forward with a winning ticket, I'm not sure what happens to that money. But why do I have this sneaking suspicion that it ends up in some politician's pocket or it goes into some sort of general slush fund? But anyhow, I found out that one of the $1 million tickets was sold about 90 seconds away from where I'm sitting right now in my studio. There is a gas station down the street. You can, honest to God, it can be there in a minute and a half. And adjacent to the gas station is a grocery store, and the grocery store is one of the places that sold a $1 million ticket. And so I said, well, based on the mathematical laws of chance, I probably shouldn't ever bother buying another lottery ticket for the rest of my life, because that grocery store will never have another winning ticket again. It's the old lightning doesn't strike twice in the same place thing. And immediately people jumped in and said, oh, no, that's not true, JC. That's not true at all. You got just as much of a chance of that grocery store having the winning ticket as they did before. And I guess I understand what they're saying. Sure. I mean, technically, there isn't any reason why that store couldn't sell another major winner. But again, the mathematical laws of chance come into play here. And it just, it wouldn't seem likely at all, would it? So is it possible? Yeah. Technically, it is. I'm still not going to buy any more lottery tickets. Every once in a while, I like to get away from the family and just like on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, pick out a nice restaurant or a bar or something like that and go and really take my time, have a glass of wine, have a little appetizer, have a little lunch, do a lot of people watching, and invariably there will be a TV in the place and you look up and you find yourself watching something you're not the least bit interested in because there are no games on yet. Because it's only like 11:30 or noon and the games haven't started yet. Even golf hasn't started yet. So they always have like, you know, ESPN 30 on. And I got stuck in front of a screen that was broadcasting hatchet throwing. And the first thing I thought to myself is, outside of somebody like me who's stuck at a bar with a TV in front of them and really nothing to watch, so I'm sort of like trapped, I wonder who else could possibly be watching this. It was ESPN 2, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, this broadcasts all over the country, 350 million Americans. How many people could be watching this right now? 30? But the amazing thing is, these dudes stand in front of this thing, in front of this target, and they both start throwing hatchets, and every single hatchet they throw is a bullseye. Every single one. Can you imagine watching a baseball game where every pitch resulted in a home run, or a golf game on television where everything was a hole in one? You know, when you make everything leveled out like that, there's no drama, there's no excitement, there's no surprise. There's really no reason to be watching. And then after the hatchet game, they're interviewing the winner like he just accomplished something. And I just keep thinking to myself, well, you know, after they see them throwing these hatchets with a bullseye over and over and over again, why the fuck don't they move them back about 10 or 15 feet? and then C, then you'd have some drama. You'd have some surprise. But they got these dudes standing. It can't be more. Honest to God, it can't be more than 8 or 10 feet away. Can you imagine somebody goes bowling and they shorten the alley to about 20 feet? It makes no sense at all. But apparently that's, you know, all you have to do is be involved in some sort of activity on the weekend, and ESPN is so starved for anything that they'll go ahead and put it on TV. Oh, and at this particular restaurant, the women wear these tan shorts, and there must be some sort of an edict, or if there isn't, at least it must be understood amongst the women. And I should point out that most of these women were basically girls. You probably only have to be about 18 because there's alcohol involved. I would say the majority of them, I would say out of the 10 servers that I, observed, 9 of the 10 of them had shorts that appeared to have been altered to the point where how small and tight can we get these things? They appeared to be some sort of stretchy material. These girls all had long, beautiful legs. They were pretty girls and, you know, nice tans and the whole thing. And they're wearing these shorts that were so tight that if the girl had a pimple on her butt, you would have been able to see it through this material. So then when they turn around the other way, it's like, holy Jesus. I'm really not exaggerating. I mean, there was basically camel toe involved. And I'm like, wow. But then I remembered that some Japanese company, we did the story about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, that will sell you something that you wear, that women wear underneath their clothing, that actually makes it look like they have camel toe, even if they don't. So in the past, something that would have produced an embarrassing situation is exactly what they're saying. We'll sell this to you and you can achieve this. What's that? You don't have camel toe today? Here, slide this in there. It'll look like you do. Women are running out of ways to dress, shall we say, provocatively. And you do have to wonder, is the day coming where there's actually going to be some form of nudity involved? They're running out of ways to be provocative. It used to be cleavage. Then it was underboob. Then it was push-up bras. Then it was braless. Then it was, as we used to say, high beams when it's cold and women's nipples protrude through their shirts when they're not wearing a bra. And then there was a seismic shift when the Kardashians came along and everything that had always been focused on boobs suddenly turned to butts. Bigger the butt, the better. You know, you used to look at a girl and go, wow, she's really pretty and everything, but man, look at the size of the can on her. Jesus, that thing, it looks like a garbage truck is following her. That's a deal breaker. Her butt's too big. Well, you don't hear that anymore, do you? So it just sort of brings up the obvious question, what's next? And it would seem that the natural progression of things would be that at some point, it's just going to be women say, well, we're tired of just messing around here. Here it is. I hope I live that long. I hope I live that long. All right. Still waiting to hear on Juan Soto. If you are listening to the podcast later in the day or in the evening, or if you binge on the weekend or something like that, we already will know the answer. But the insiders, and all the, we were talking about this yesterday, but you know, the insider, the golf insider, the sports insider, the bowling insider, the football insider, none of the insiders seem to have any idea what the fuck is going to happen with Juan Soto. There's a lot of phony information floating around all over the place, a lot of speculation. Speculation is worth absolutely nothing. I will not be heartbroken if we don't get him. I liken this to the idea of Albert Pujols. The Cardinals, you know, over 10 years ago said, no, if we pay Albert Pujols all this money, it's going to disproportionately throw our budget out of whack, and we won't have any money to do anything to get any other players. And one person cannot win baseball games. It's a team sport. So it would be nice if Albert stayed, but we just can't cripple our franchise financially. We just feel it would be irresponsible to do this. And oh, by the way, at that point, Albert was, well, 30 years old, at least that's what they say. I've always maintained that Albert's a little bit older than he said. I don't think they had any birth records in the Dominican when all that was happening when Albert was born, but that's an aside. Now the case of Juan Soto, 23. You know, but he could still get hurt. There's all sorts of things that can happen, and it is not going to break my heart if he ends up with the Padres or ends up with the Dodgers. Let him go. Take whatever amount of money you were able to squeeze out of the DeWitts and get some fucking pitching. Pitching wins baseball games. Right fielders don't. NFL continues to be a joke. Deshaun Watson, serial sexual assaulter, only got a 6-game suspension without pay. The most valuable NFL team right now is still the Dallas Cowboys. But unlike last year, the Rams now are number 2, followed by the New England Patriots. There's something wrong when the bad guys are winning all the time. He liked to go in to get a massage, and something was going on in those massage rooms while he was in there, and he was often pressuring the women who were giving him the massage for sexual contact. The NFL owners are like, you can't punish a man for that. That's what I do. All right, you got all this election coverage all over your TV tonight. Later on tonight, Michael Strahan on with Jimmy Fallon, and Colbert's got Jon Favreau. And James Taylor is sitting in this week. It's fun. He's doing Shower the People last night with the band. A bunch of cars, props, and costumes from James Bond movies are hitting the auction block next month. If you're interested, you'll have to poke around a little bit on the internet. If you are a fan of the TV show Community, or if you were, Alison Brie confirmed there have been talks about finally making a movie. Some artists, when they're doing a live concert, throw t-shirts to the crowd, sometimes guitar picks or drumsticks or something like that. Katy Perry, the other night, was throwing slices of pizza into the crowd. A guy in Brazil ended up in the ER last month after watching YouTube tutorials, and he tried to give himself a nose job. And somebody did some sort of research project and said the secret to being the most interesting person at a party: don't talk about yourself. Instead, let other people talk about themselves. Be genuinely interested and ask smart follow-up questions, and you'll just be so popular at the party. Michael Jackson has been dead for, 10, 12 years like that? His estate has earned approximately $2.4 billion since he's been dead in the two most visited homes in America, the White House and Graceland. Today is National Ice Cream Sandwich Day, and I bet you didn't know this, that in Vietnam, street vendors sell ice cream stuffed between two layers of bread, literal sandwiches. And Vladimir Putin was caught on camera unable to use his right arm. You know, they've been saying that he's sick. They've been saying that for a long time now, that something's wrong with him and his face doesn't look right, sort of bloated and everything like that. So they caught him on camera unable to use his right arm. The only thing we know for sure is he didn't injure it by trying to put on a shirt. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast is done, son, for Tuesday, August 2nd, 2022. 102 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. This was a pretty good podcast today, considering I almost slept through the preparation process and just basically turned on the microphone and started talking here for the last hour. So I'll try to do better tomorrow. We are here every weekday morning just after 7 o'clock at jcontheline.com. You may email me at jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook the Showgram with JC Corcoran. Stay cool. Bring on the Cubbies and then the Yankees. By this time tomorrow, we'll know if we have Juan Soto or not. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.